wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
So much to do. We better get right to it. We welcome Gordon Goldsborough from the Manitoba Historical Society for another edition of A Band of Manitoba. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Bruce.
So remind us what we're talking about this week.
Anyone who has used the Manitoba Historical Society's smartphone app, Insight, knows that we have mapped over 10,000 historic sites around Manitoba. But we continue to add more sites, almost on a daily basis, and that's thanks to many dedicated volunteers. And listeners may remember, we talked last week about how important volunteers are to the heritage sector.
Yep.
Well, inevitably, there are sites that we cannot add to the database, yet at least, and that's because we're missing key information. So they end up on my to-do list. And at the moment, that list contains over 180 entries.
There are 180 historic sites that you don't know about?
Well, I would say there's at least 180, and it's probably a whole lot more. But most of those mysteries fall into two basic categories. In the first case, we think an historically significant building might exist, but we don't know where it is. In the second case, someone has found a clearly important building, but we don't know its name or anything about its history.
Okay, let's talk about the first category first then.
Well, back in 1994, the Manitoba government published a report on one-room schoolhouses that still existed at that time, but that was 32 years ago. So, of course, there's no assurance that they're still standing today. Over the past 16 years, I have tried my darndest to find out which ones are still around, but I have 75 schoolhouses on my to-do list. For most of those buildings, I know where they used to stand, but it may be that after a school closed, the building was moved elsewhere. And I think what makes it even harder to find is that they were often converted into things like homes, garages, workshops, in a few cases, even granaries. You know, and through the years, further renovation has rendered buildings unidentifiable. If you know, point them out, I remember there was one schoolhouse we found that if somebody hadn't told me that that was a school, I would never have known. So,
right.
You know, the reality is of those 75 schoolhouses, I wouldn't be surprised there's a whole lot of them still out there, but I simply cannot find them. Another example involves plaques or monuments that sources have told me were installed somewhere, but the locations were not recorded. You know, this is always strikes me as weird. You know, you want to put up a monument, you want people to be proud of something, but you don't tell them where it is. Well, usually I can track them down, but not always. You know, for example, numerous plaques have been put up all over Manitoba by Ducks Unlimited. And these plaques mark its conservation projects, or it sometimes honors donors or former staff. There are 27 Ducks Unlimited plaques that I have been unable to find, so they're on my to-do list.
Gordon, you're far too busy, far too busy.
Tell you about
in
it.
In your retirement. So tell us about the second category of unknowns.
So recently, someone who travels Manitoba photographing abandoned houses contacted me because he had found buildings that do not appear in our Insight app, and he wondered if I knew about them. So he sent me pictures of 18 buildings, and yeah, I could identify two of them. Okay, well, not great odds, 2 out of 18. And, you know, the thing that bothered me was that, you know, many of them were clearly either churches or schools. And I'm usually pretty good at matching old schools and churches because I have a set of old federal government maps that were created in the 1950s. And these maps are cool because they have little symbols on the map that denote where churches were. Like there's a little box with a little cross on top of it. Or there's a little box with a little flag on top for a school. And, you know, you find those, okay, that's where the school or the church used to be in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Well, often you go to those places today and there's nothing there. But I thought, okay, but still, there was something there, so we'll put that in the map. So I have the locations, even if there's nothing there, I have the locations on the map. But none of these unknowns, these 18 buildings, none of them matched any of these unoccupied sites. And I guess that what that suggests to me is that the buildings have been moved after they closed. And so this is where local knowledge becomes absolutely invaluable. So, you know, what I'm hoping is that somebody will see a photo of a building that we know exists, but we don't know what it is, and say, hey, that's such and such school. Well, and then the mystery is solved.
Okay, well, tell us about some of these unknowns.
Okay, well, along with the 75 former schoolhouses that I've been unable to find, we have seven buildings for which we know their location, but the site doesn't match the known locations of any schoolhouse. So, for example, about 13 kilometers northwest of Pearson, Manitoba, it's about 2.5 kilometers east of the Manitoba-Saskatchewan border. Standing out in the middle of an agricultural field, there is a small wooden building. And you look at it, oh, it's very clearly a one-room schoolhouse. You know, the photo the fellow sent me could be nothing else. But now I have to confess, I have not been to the site myself, and I think getting there might be a bit of a challenge because there's really no developed road to it. I mean, you could leave your car and walk to it, I suppose, or maybe in my case, I'd fly a drone over to have a quick check. But I'm perplexed as to its identity. Now, my source who shared the photo called it Fultonville School, and that did provide a little bit of a clue. So I did some research, and I found that, yes, there was something called Fulton School that operated in the vicinity from 1916 to 1933. And, I mean, it stopped operating almost 100 years ago. I found a history book for the area, and it did provide some information about this Fulton School. And I also found a photo of the school at the Provincial Archives, and the building does look like that photo. So I'm kind of thinking that might be a match, but I think ultimately a visit to the site is going to be required. You know, so I'm hoping I can tie up that loose ends with a little more research and say, going to see it myself.
And you mentioned that some of your unknowns are churches as well?
Yeah, you know, you can usually say with confidence that a building was once a church based on its windows, because a lot of church windows have sort of a rounded or sometimes a pointed top to them. Mm-hmm. You know, and houses don't, you know, residences don't tend to have those kind of windows. Well, sometimes there's also a bell tower, and of course, that's usually a pretty good giveaway as well. Well, northeast of Melitta, about 3 kilometers as the crow flies, there is a small church, and I'm pretty sure it's a church, that lies way off the nearest road on the edge of a farm field. It overlooks a small creek. It's actually a very scenic location. I'm positive that it had to have been moved there from somewhere else, but I know nothing about its history. Absolutely nothing. It's a building, looks like a church, don't know where it came from. I'm hoping somebody can look at it and go, oh, that's such and such church. It came from wherever. Who knows? Equally mystifying, maybe more so, is a church that sits in the forest near Garland, a little community in the rural municipality of Ethelbert. Now, there are 3 nice churches in Garland itself, and they belong to the United Church, or the Ukrainian Catholic Church, or the Ukrainian Orthodox faith. But this little unknown church is none of those. So, what is it? I suspect it might have been moved there to be converted into someone's home, because that seems to be something people in Garland tend to do. That's my guess, because back in 1982, someone purchased an old Vickers Viscount aircraft, moved it to the main street in Garland, and converted it into a summer cottage. So, in other words, people do that sort of thing. Right. They bring in things to turn into residences. So I'm hoping somebody from Garland or somebody from the area will say, oh, yeah, that's the such and such church that came from somewhere else. And then that unknown will
be. Somebody's bound to know that. Yeah.
Well, I'd like to think so. Yeah.
Tell us about some unknowns that aren't either, buildings or monuments.
And there's lots of those as well. You know, longtime listeners, for example, will know about my passion for old bridges. And there are 6 of them on my to-do list. In my view, of those 6, the most intriguing is a steel pony truss bridge. That's basically where you have a sort of a low steel wall. It's probably about the height of your hood of your car. And that style was built typically in the early 20th century. So it suggests to me that this bridge is over 100 years old. I was told several years ago that it's northeast of Beald, a nice little town in the municipality of Roblin. I have searched using my usual techniques. I don't usually just go out random driving because that's not very productive, but I've searched, Google Earth. I've searched other satellite images. I've searched maps, and I haven't yet found it. People have assured me it's there. I just have to find it. And so that's one category on my to-do list, is that bridge. There are 5 cemeteries on the list, and this is probably a really severe underestimate because there are small cemeteries all over the place, but there is one in particular. It's a small, overgrown cemetery, has some nice markers in it, some, stone or concrete markers. But I suspect it belonged to a family that's long gone and nobody cares about it, you know, and so I want to know whose cemetery that is.
So you're basically, you're welcoming people who are listening right now, their help, right? These are just a few examples, but you guys have such a long list. Maybe people can see the list and help out.
Yep.
How can
yep.
they do that?
Yeah. This is where crowdsourcing comes in. You know, you get a whole lot of people. And so what I think it would be helpful is if people could see the list and go down and go, oh, I know where that is. Or, oh, that one. Yeah, I think I have a friend who knows, might know where that one is.
Mm-hmm.
So I've put a substantial portion of my to-do list on the website of the Manitoba Historical Society. And for 11 of the buildings on the list for which I know the building exists, so I have a photo of it. I just don't know what the building is. Well, then I'm hoping that somebody will look at it and go, oh, yeah, that's such and such a building. It'll jog their memory. For the rest, and that's the majority of the list, I've provided as much detail as I have on the location of the building or the monument in the hopes that it might help somebody find them. I might give directions like 2 miles west and a mile north,
mm-hmm.
or I might even in a few cases give latitude, longitude, which might be inaccurate. There's been a few cases where I've found that the actual location is some distance away from those coordinates. So I'm hoping that if somebody can scan down our list and offer any information that advances things, even if it isn't an exact thing, if you know a friend that might be able to help or that kind of thing, you know, get a hold of me. But what we really want is if somebody does know something definite about one of those sites, if you can provide its precise geographic coordinates, you know, ideally latitude and longitude that you can get with either a smartphone app or a GPS.
That's easy with an app.
Yeah. Absolutely. And of course, it would be icing on the cake if we had a photo or two of them. And if you could help, by all means, contact me. Of course, you can reach me by email at Gordon, G-O-R-D-O-N, at mhs.mb.ca. But if you want to check out that list, go to mhs.ca/unknowns.
That's easy.
mhs.ca/unknowns. And the whole list is there. Get a hold of me if you can help.
I like these ones when you want people's help because you always get it.
Absolutely.
Thanks for this, Gordon. What's up for next week?
Well, some listeners know that this radio series has spawned 3 books of the same name, but people may not know that it has also been the inspiration for a series of nearly 100 short videos, of course, about historic sites around Manitoba. Those videos can be viewed for free on the YouTube channel of the Manitoba Historical Society, and so next week, I'm going to describe how the series got started, what sort of videos are in it, our top 5 most popular videos, and some hints about new videos that are coming soon.
Always a pleasure to watch your videos on your YouTube channel, even if only to compare the various lengths of beard.
Yeah, I remember one video, I'm in an airplane and my beard is going all over the place.
And sometimes shortened up.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, thanks, Gordon. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye for now.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.